Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills is a healing evangelist, a best-selling author, and a mega church pastor. He's the founder of the United Denominations, originating from the Lighthouse Group of Churches, overseeing over 3,000 churches across every continent of the world. He pastors the First Love Church, a vibrant church in the city of Accra, transforming the lives of thousands of young people for the Lord. Now listen to Dag Heward Mills.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus. Do it better for the Lord. Do it better for the Lord. Oh, I can't hear your clapping. I can't hear you shouting. If you know God is sending you a miracle, a breakthrough before the end of the year, shout a big ear. Hallelujah. What a powerful blessing. What a year it has been. I believe God's grace is carrying us even into 2021. If you believe it, shout a big amen. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 19 verse 7 that the law of God is perfect and it will convert our souls. Even as Prophet has been sharing with us, I believe that the words we hear every week are meant to transform us into better people. We are meant to become real disciples and followers of Jesus. If you believe it, shout amen. We have a powerful Great Chain testimony today from our sister Vuyo, all the way from Swaziland. Put your hands together for Vuyo as she comes up to share how the power of the word of God, not the canes of her mother, not the discipline of her father, how the power of the words she heard in church changed her life. Put your hands together for that.
Amen.
Do it better. Your name, where you're coming from, and what your testimony is about.
My name is Nomvuyo Manana. I'm from Swaziland, and by the grace of God, I'm in the First Love Town Church, and I'm in the FO Sanctifiers. I'd just like to thank God for the great change that he has done in my life through the ministry of Prophet Dag. I grew up in Swaziland, and from a young age, I was exposed to pornographic material, which led to me masturbating, to getting involved in lesbianism and gays, like around the age of 10. And by the age of 14, I got saved, but 2 years down the line, I backslid. And it started by me listening to secular music. My mom actually commented on it, and I would get upset when she would comment on it. And I just began to live a dual life. I started getting involved with boys. I got into relationships. I would get into a relationship with a boy, and 2 months down the line, I've gotten into another relationship. And it just became worse. I went back into pornography, masturbation, fornication.
And what happened when you traveled?
So when I traveled to school in 2014 to China, the first semester of school, I met Shepherd Emmanuel Dua.
You met who?
Shepherd Emmanuel Dua.
Who was he?
He, at that time, I didn't know who he was. At that time, he made friends with us. I didn't know anything about the church. I didn't know he was a dancing star. He taught us a dance for the school, so we became friends with him. And then the following semester, I walked into a room where he was talking to other countrymates of mine, and he was preaching from Daddy's book, Gospel Salvation, the small book on the seven great principles.
It's not the size of the book that
matters. Very small.
It's what is inside the book. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible says the word of God is quick and powerful. How many of you believe that the word of God can do something in your life?
Amen.
Wow. And what happened when he was sharing from the book?
So when he was sharing, I was listening as he was talking about how man is a spirit, has a soul, and lives in a body. And I sat down, and it just interested me. I was actually happy. I don't know how to describe it. And from then on, he would invite us for midweek services. He would invite us for prayers and introduced us to Daddy's messages. I started to listen to the messages, read the books. And from then, my life began to change.
What did you find about the messages as you started listening to the messages?
I was surprised that messages where they were talking about fornication straight, duality. I'd never heard that before. Mm. And they were very straight to us, the young people, which was different from what I had heard before. And I began to change by the grace of God. I regave my life to Christ, and God delivered me from the life that I used to live. Amen. And I just like to encourage anyone here that you may be coming to church, you are still in a life of sin. Just keep coming. God will change your life. It may be gradual, but God will change your life. I believe it. And I want to thank God for the life of Prophet, for the books, for everything, for being an amazing blessing to my life. I thank God for my salvation.
Wow. Amen. You know, what made the change for Vuyo, as she is explaining, it's not that she was born again, because she had done that already,
But the fact that she started listening to the words, she started taking the word seriously. Because the Bible says the word that converts our souls. Amen. So as you come to church, know that when prophet stands here, that's the most important thing about to happen. Your life is about to change. You are about to be transformed. You are about to be renewed. And you will never be the same again.
Amen.
What do you have to say to everybody?
I'd just like to encourage everyone, like I said, stay in the church. This is a blessed family. My life has been totally blessed and changed to this amazing family. Amen.
Amen. Put your hands together for that powerful testimony. You are the next person to have a testimony. This week, 5 people are receiving a testimony. If it is you, shout, "Ear!"
Heavenly Father, thank you for today and for the opportunity that we have in your presence. We give you thanks, Lord. We give you praise. And we are so blessed. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you again. In Jesus' name, I pray. And we pray, Lord. Amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. And it is time to receive an offering. And this morning, the theme for our offering is very simple. As everything fails, I will not fail. As everything fails, I will not fail. Amen. Genesis 47. Genesis 47. As everything fails, I will not fail. Amen. Now, how many remember that the Lord was with Joseph? You know, if you look back, you see the amazing scripture in Genesis 39. All right? Genesis 39. It says, "And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all that he did to prosper." Is that not so? Now jump to Genesis 47, and the Bible says from verse 11, all right, or even from verse 1, Joseph came and told Pharaoh, and said, "My father and my brethren and their flocks and their herds and all that they have are come out of the land of Canaan. And behold, they are in the land of Goshen." All right? And verse 11. "And Joseph placed his father and his brethren and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land." So Joseph now became someone who looked after his father. You'll be someone who'll be looking after your father, your mother, your relatives, and it will not be a quarrel between you and your wife. So we sent 20 cedis to my father and we sent 20 cedis to your father. We should have sent 30 cedis to your mother. Why are we sending only 20 cedis to my father? You know, there are a lot of quarrels like that. Why should we send 35 CDs to your mother and only 22 CDs to my mother? You never have such quarrels in your house. Because when the presence of the Lord is with you, you'll be able to look after your father. Amen. Without struggle. And you never make your father feel embarrassed. You know, because some people, they will give you something, but you feel bad. By the time you receive it, you know, you feel bad. It's like, oh, Charlie, look at what is happening today. My son that I was looking after, look, he's the one, he's giving me toilet roll. And it happens when we allow them to ask or allow the need to appear. But that need shouldn't be. You see, one of the things in life is shame. You don't have to shame somebody you are supposed to honor. When you shame somebody you are supposed to honor, or you allow the person to be ashamed, it's a curse. Yes. Because it's the direct opposite. Honor, the opposite of honor is shame. So when you allow the person who you are supposed to honor to be low, which is what Ham did when he did whatever to his father, he brought upon himself a curse, and rightly so. And all of Ham's descendants, which is one third of the people in the earth, were only three people, remember. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. There were only three people. Everybody in the world comes from one of these three. Everybody comes from one of these three. Huh? You don't like my message? No, it's like Noah was just like Adam. In the sense that everybody came from Adam. And in another sense, everybody came from Noah, because everybody was drowned and Noah restarted the whole thing. So Noah is like the second Adam in a way. He's not the second Adam, but he's like Adam in the sense that through him came the whole world. And three sons. And he cursed one of the sections. And said, a servant of servants shall thou be. You know? You know, they were expecting everybody in Africa to die. Yes. Because we can't do anything, almost. We almost cannot do almost anything. Whether vaccine, whether this, whether whatever, we have nothing. Have you heard of any vaccine being developed in Africa? Yes. Huh? Neem tree is what we have. We are drinking the neem tree. Yes. And the sunshine. It's burning us every day. I'm hoping that Christmas Day will be outdoors. Yes. Christmas Day, we have to have an outdoor service. So everybody has to try to come ready for the, because that will be in the morning. You know, it rains around 3 o'clock here. There's every 3 o'clock. You have to expect rain. You get what I'm saying? So that is one of the reasons why we haven't gone outdoors, because the rain will disturb us. So we are hoping that Christmas Day, 25th, we'll be out there to get our vitamin D. These are what we have, you know. We don't have much. Yeah. Yes. Seventh blessing. So, what was I talking about? I hope you know what I'm talking about. Okay. I'm saying that when you shame the person you are expected to honor, you are bringing a curse. May you never be involved in such a curse. Amen. So verse 12, and Joseph nourished his father. Joseph nourished his father and his brethren. So it's a great thing. If you ever have to look after your father, your brethren, whatever, it's a sign of the greatness of God in your life. And flow with it and stop. Do not be stingy. You know, there's a place in the world, I don't want to mention where. Okay? I'll not mention where. But when you go for dinner, let's say you are three friends or four friends going for dinner, birthday, whatever. When they go to eat in the restaurant, after eating, everybody pays for himself. Yes. Everybody and your receipt. You take your receipt and you go. I drank two water, one Coke, one this, one that. I take my receipt. I don't want to mention that place. For a celebration, let's say even a birthday, let's go out to eat. So, I am saying that when I read in the Bible, I'm telling you how to renew your mind. When I read in the Bible that Jesus Christ took 5,000 people to eat lunch, and he didn't complain at all, then I realized that, no, when I go to the restaurant, I don't have to say, you pay yours, you pay yours, you pay yours, you pay yours. Don't bring your wallet. Just come for the dinner. Receive that grace. In the name of Jesus. You see, there are things you can learn from a culture, and then you adopt it and accept it as your culture. But there are things you can improve on. Amen. And do better. Now, it's the same with this looking after brethren and fathers. You don't have to think in your head, why my father is a poor man? Why? Why do I have to look after my brethren? Rather look at it as, because Joseph was a blessed man, that is why he was nourishing his brethren and looking after his father. That it's rather a blessing that has fallen upon me to be able to nourish my father and look after my brethren. It's a blessing. I hope you are learning something. Yeah. Some of you like quarreling about money. That's why I'm preaching like this. There's always a discussion. Verse 13. What's the theme for our offering? As everything fails, I will not fail. Amen. Say it loud. As everything fails, I will not fail. Are things failing? A lot of things are failing. The vaccines they are doing, we don't know whether it's working. Because now there's a new variant of the virus that has also come. What do you do? As everything fails, then you respond, I will not. As everything fails, as everything fails, as everything fails. Say it in England, those in the UK, in America, in Canada, in Switzerland, Germany, every Spain, all my Spanish members, Hamburg, wherever you are, say it loud. As everything fails, I will not fail. Yes. So many shops have gone bankrupt. Shops have closed down. In the UK, which shops have been shut down? Debenhams is gone. And where again? Topshop is gone. Another famous shop. And then hotels. Airlines. You see them flying without passengers. They are moving up and down without passengers. Yes. What do you do? You've bought the plane. Is it in there? As everything fails. Amen. Now, verse 13. And there was no bread in all the land, for the famine was very sore. So that the land of Egypt and all the land of Canaan fainted by reason of the famine. And I think I can say that the world is reeling under the effect of this pandemic. And it's a sore famine that is affecting so much. And honestly, somebody predicted that there will be dead bodies all over Africa lying on the streets. Yay! And you see, we also knew that we were defenseless. Like when it comes to vaccine, you get what I'm saying? We don't has. Do we has some? We don't has it. We don't has it. There's a song, Cover My Defenseless Head. Cover My Defenseless Head. Hallelujah. Now, and Joseph, verse 14, as everything was failing, Bible says, and Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan for the corn which they brought. And Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house. You see, some of you, if you were the ones receiving the money, you would have kept it. You would have kept it and taken it to your to Jacob. Yes. Your loyalty would have come in question and you would have failed. You would have given in to the thought that, yeah, let me establish my family. This is a chance for me to secure myself. I have to secure myself. And that is, thank God for pastors we have all over, lay pastors. They take offerings and they receive offerings and don't keep it as their personal money to secure themselves. But they bring it to where it belongs so that the church can be built. Yes, if the pastors of our many churches were to say, let me secure myself. Let me keep this money for myself. There would be very little available to do the work of God as we are supposed to do it. And Joseph was a faithful man. God bless him. He needed not to steal the money that God had made come his way. It's like the money that is coming my way now. All the churches are giving offerings. I have a lot of authority if I want to use that and say, no. Bring it. The tithe belongs to the pastor. You get it? There are so many ways of thinking. But because Joseph did what was right, we assume that that's what is done. Till you see an alternative. Then you see that, things would have been different if Joseph thought differently. And Joseph could easily have thought differently about all that had fallen into his hand. And he said, no, this is Pharaoh's money. All I'm doing is for Pharaoh. Because I'm here as the prime minister. It's my work to gather. And I'm making him rich. That's why later on, when there arose a Pharaoh which could not remember Joseph, it turned out for a curse for Pharaoh. And the whole land was emasculated and robbed and destroyed because there arose someone who didn't know that it's because of Joseph that a certain type of tax system and wealth came to Pharaoh himself. He didn't know it. That it was the faithfulness of this man. So I will encourage everybody to be faithful. When things come your way, you know that this is not for me. It's not for me. The fact that I am around where it's passing does not mean that it is for me. It is not for me. Amen. Now, verse 15. What is our theme? As everything fails, I will not fail. Verse 15. And when money failed in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came unto Joseph and said, give us bread. For why should we die in thy presence? For the money faileth. As everything fails, say it loud and clear, as everything fails, as everything fails. Amen. You know, the pride of man makes him to feel that he is invincible and that there is nothing that he cannot overcome with his mind and with his own ideas. But see, there comes a time, you get it, where you see that except God helps, you cannot make it. And I want to say that as we continue to present to God our offerings, declaring to God our faith in Him, yes, our faith in God, God, we are your servants. We do still believe in you. We believe that we work hard as we can. We go to school as much as we can. But we believe that your hand is the one that controls everything. And that is why we would take the money that we need. We actually need the money that we are about to give to you. And give it away to you for your house and your work. Although we don't have a sense, although we can't think or we can't see, but we present it. We are not giving to a political party, which we know that when they come into power, they will remember all the people that supported it and give them contract to dig gutters, contract to make roads, contract to make bridges, contracts to do all sorts of things. We don't know any contract we are going to get by giving. We don't know of any benefit that we are going to get physically that we can locate and pinpoint with our hands and our eyes. But Lord, we are trusting your power in our lives. And therefore, we are planting our seed with faith. You know, when you give in the church, never give because you think you are helping the church. Because you are more in need than the church. I can tell you that. Even our church, you are more in. I mean, look at the church. Every building you see is debt-free. If it is standing like this whole campus, the whole campus has not even $1 debt. There's no part anywhere that is we are owing anything about anything. There's nothing like that here. So you and that's that is an entire campus. There's no bank anywhere that can say, oh, you remember this month you have to pay. Write a letter with red papers. No. No. So don't give thinking that you are helping the church. You must give with faith. God is everything to me. And I will give to God because I believe that as I sow my seed, I believe that it is real. That when I sow, I shall reap. I believe that God is powerful, that He controls everything. I believe that it is His presence that makes me able to nourish my father and my brethren. I believe that it is His presence that makes me survive when everything is failing, that I'm still here. I believe it. You pity people, so you are giving. The people you pity and the things you pity that you give to, they don't even change because of your pity. Your pity doesn't elevate people from their difficulties. And your pity will not make the church do well because of you. You feel sorry. No. Have in mind that God is great. God controls things. And I look at this world, I say, hey, this world is full of proud people. The world is full of pride and God is knocking our pride. Yes, it's knocking our pride because our pride cannot answer. California, 1,000 die every day in the last few days. 1,000 dead only in California, not America. Just one state. That's the extent. Even though we can go as far as Mass, I was either in America at the time, the ground shake. It was this thing going to Mass, rocket. They were going to Mass. Just here, they were parked there. We are going to Mass. That's so beautiful. Take off to Mass. We get there in 6 months. They know what they are going to do there. Beautiful. But we still cannot answer questions about life and death. Yes. So brothers and sisters, I want you to... That's why you pay tithes. Because you believe that God is the one who can make you well. You see, that's why when people are in hospital, they start wanting to serve God. When people are sick, they want to do things for God. So, oh, I really, you know, I've thought about this and I want to. Let me tell you, this is the time to show. You know, when bad things have happened, and you ask, oh, now I want to. Then we ask, but why didn't you do this earlier? When you really had the chance, you didn't. Now that there's a big change, you want to show God that He is your everything. So, brothers and sisters, you know, pay your tithe relentlessly and fearlessly and give to God trusting. Don't say, I'm going to help the church. No. Or the church is begging. No. Don't do that. It will not help you. You will never give well. The church really needs you. No. You need God. God will never need you. Look, 1,000 years will pass. God will never need you. You need God. You need Him. God will never need you. Few pounds you earn, few dollars you have, small opportunity you have, God will never, it cannot be possible. It cannot be. You know, one time I was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and the Lord touched my heart to go and give an offering to Kenneth Hagin. And I didn't know when I would see him again. And so I said, well, I have to. And I felt that it was like a contract. I felt that I owe him something. So that day he mentioned how much he had earned from his, he had earned. How much his tithes were. And his tithes was something like $20 million. So I've forgotten how much. Who was that? $20 or $30 million. So that was the tithe for that year. That's a 10%. So, I mean, I did a quick calculation. You know, 10% is equal to 20. Therefore, 100 is equal to... You know that calculation we do in secondary school, yes. If 10 is this, if less more divides, there's a calculation like that. Yeah. I did it quickly. And I think the figure I came to was something like 270 million. Yes. Fantastic. So then I immediately held the envelope that was in my pocket and squeezed it tight. And I said to the envelope, "You are going nowhere. Hold on tight." You see, Kenneth Hagin cannot, will not ever need my offering. He cannot need it. He cannot and will never need it. A real prophet doesn't need what you are giving to him. It is you who can feel that I owe this to God. That's all. But it's not, and when you give, you are giving to God. Not to think of solving somebody's needs. It can never be possible. Take that out of your thinking box. Now, when I went back to my room, hotel room in Tulsa, Oklahoma, I went to sleep as usual, and I woke up at like 3 or 4 a.m. And then I started praying. Then the Holy Spirit started to convict me. He said, "You, eh? You know where you are today? It's through this person, this man. Do you know, you'll be nowhere if God hadn't used this person to bless you. You'll be nothing." He showed me, he said, everything you are, your teaching ministry, the books, anything that you are doing is all connected to this person. And you owe him. Because the Bible says, let him that is taught in the word, communicate to the one who is teaching him in all good things. You see, I was thinking that maybe he would need my offering. But it can never be so. Yeah. Do you know what happened next? I started to weep and started to cry. Like when I say cry, I mean like open crying. Open crying. Not this type of silent. No, not that type of crying. Not that type. No. With silent tears coming down. No. I was wailing. And I felt the Lord was rebuking me. Say, "You are not." He was an ungrateful, wicked person. Wow. I mean, look at the church here. We are having church service in Mampong. No buses, nothing. Just come to church. We are just in the eastern region. If you can come. Come. Yes. We have not had church for 1 year. If you can church, if you feel like coming, come. Yeah. Yeah. It's something God has given. So anyway, I decided to go the next day. The next day, I was walking. The bookshop, you see, the church has it's what we call a temperate design. Yes, temperate design. In Africa, we should design differently, but depending on the school you went to. So there was a corridor around the hall. And in the corridor, I suddenly saw Kenneth Hagin Jr., his son, in the corridor. I said, "What? This is my opportunity." I walked up to him and I said, I took my envelope out. The envelope I had that I had decided that, return to Ghana. Hold on tight. Have I told you the story of hold on tight? No, there was a certain plane. Remember, I'll come back to a certain aeroplane and, you know, in a certain country whose name begins with one of the alphabets. And then they were about to take off and then there was no seatbelt. The seatbelt wasn't coming. So the brother called the air hostess that, please, the seatbelt is not working. And then she said, hey, what seatbelt? Hold on tight, you know, just hold on tight. I don't want to tell you the country. It's a certain place. Hold on tight. Anyway, back to the offering. I was at that offering that I was holding on tight. I said, I saw Hagin Jr. Can I take it? And I went to him and I gave it to him. I said, please, can you give this to your father for me? He has been a blessing to me. He said, really? I said, yeah, please give it. Thank you. And that was it. Bye-bye. I knew that. It's just between me and God. It's not about solving. Somebody has told you his income last tithe was $27 million or whatever. I wish I can find the test so that I get the exact figure. What are you talking about? So, that was it. And I was getting ready to go to Ghana. I think it was one more day. Suddenly, I saw Kenneth Hagin Jr. approaching me the next day. He said, my father would like to see you. I said, me? Yes, he said, to say thank you. I said, wow. I would never have believed that this offering will register. Because we are talking of millions. And I know you want me to tell you how much was in my offering. But I will never tell you. It has nothing to do with you. I don't know why you want to know. How does it help you? So, he took me. He said, please follow me. I followed him. I had been watching. When you sit here, you see on the stage, there was a door in the stage. And I used to see people go through the door. And I used to wonder, Lord, what is in that door? But that day, I passed through that door. You are passing through doors you've never imagined you pass through. I'm telling you. You are going to pass through doors you never imagined you pass through. Yes. Yeah, Tamakatola, Samada. And he took me and I entered a very beautiful boardroom, lounge, with many, many lounge chairs and people sitting in groups. And he took me, I didn't know where I was going. He took me, weaved me left, right, in between the people, in between the groups. And he came to, and Papa Hagin was sitting there in his chair. You know, he had quite a big, a fatherly belly. It says for fathers. Yes. How can you be a father without a strong belly? And Kenneth Hagin Jr. told his father, this is the man who gave the offering. And Kenneth said, oh. And he stretched out his hand and said, thank you very much. It was not Corona, so we could shake hands. He said, thank you very much. God bless you. I don't even know what else he said. My mind wasn't working. My mind was blank. My mind was blank. I was just experiencing. I wasn't thinking. You'll be experiencing things without thinking. Look, when it comes to sowing seeds and giving, I beg you, never think of a need that you are meeting. Think of an obligation to God, something you owe to the Heavenly Father, not something you are, I'm solving, this person needs shoes, so I'm giving him shoes. He needs it. Can you imagine at my stage by now, I would have the shoes I need. Don't look at my shoes, but I'm saying that I will have the shoes that I need. My shoes are made in Ghana. These are beautiful made in Ghana shoes. But the one who makes the shoes is in the church. Yes. Yes. This is Phil and Joe. Yeah. You can also get some. Don't be jealous. Just say he's around. Just find him. Yeah. Yeah. At my stage, I cannot be that I need shoes. I don't know what you think I need. Soap? No. Don't think of meeting needs. Yes. Think, Lord, I owe you my tithe. I owe you my generous offering. I owe you my sacrifice. I am breaking curses through my sacrifices like Noah did. When Noah offered the sacrifice, the Lord said, I'll no more curse the earth. That's the end. So open your heart when it comes to giving. Don't think of so many things. Otherwise, you cannot give. You never give well. You always give in a wrong way. I'm telling you. You look and say, oh, this is a poor man, so he shouldn't get too much. You see, that rich people get more than poor people. Because when you're a person, says, oh, this one, he can't understand a lot of money. One time I was with somebody and I realized the person felt that I don't mind. So I said, listen, I know all these things. I know how to stay in hotel room that cost this. Not that I'll not waste my money on that, but somebody feels he waste the money on me. Oh, yes. I know all this. The fact that I take on a certain form, don't let it mislead you. Jesus took on the form. Not that he was that. Yes. When you see a poor man begging by the roadside, most of you don't think that you can give the person more than one CD. Yet when you see a rich man, you feel you should give him so much money. So I'm saying that looking at those things will mislead you into what you should do. Think of God. Think of your obligation to the Lord. And I know that you will be the best giver. And start it young, eh? Start it young. You know, one day I started to calculate how long I've been paying tithes. And I know that I was paying tithes from at least from five. My from five, I was in 1980. So when I calculate from 1980 to 2020, it's 40 years. You know, how long have you been paying tithes? For 1 year and you are struggling? 40 years of paying tithes. Faithfully, I can't say that I have gaps. Because even at times where I feel that, you know, I'm not so sure, sometimes you get something and you're not so sure whether. So I've done extra things. So just in case there's some mistake in the whatever, Lord, please don't forget. I'm just covering up for possible lapses. Yes. Karama Sato Balaba. Think of God, fear God. And you'll be the best giver and the best supporter of God's work all the days of your life. Father, thank you for every offering, every tithe from this congregation, from England, from America, from Switzerland, Germany, Spain, South Africa, Ghana, everywhere that is watching. Thank you for your blessedness for everybody's finances. As everything fails, we will not fail because your power and your hand is greatly involved in all that we do. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Take out your tithes, your offering. Take out everything just in case the internet goes off and so on. Take out everything. In case maybe we forget to take a second offering, we may be so excited. We say, we forgot to take a second. So give your first, your second, everything, tithes, all. One. As one big package. If we take a second offering, all the best, all the better. And every country, Portugal, Belize, First Love Church is a church in 190 nations. And nobody should ask us, are you really in 190 nations? Don't ask us that. That's the same thing when we said the mega church. People were asking, is it a mega church? I said, look, allow us to write it on our name. That is a mega church. Yes. And it's going to happen practically. 190 nations. First Love Church in 190 nations. So every nation, please check quickly. You see on the screen, take a screenshot. Allow it to stay on the screen for as long as you need to take a screenshot, which is 1 second. Then keep moving. Screenshot, 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 screenshot. and then everybody give. You should have saved a number in your phone book called offering by now. Don't look at me as if you don't understand my English words. You should have saved. If you don't have something saved in your phone called offering, then, or first love offering, or whatever, then you there's something wrong at this stage. It means that you are actually some way. All right? Today is the 20th of December. On Tuesday is a program. What program is that? Holy Night. And then on Thursday is Silent Night. There's a program, special program on Silent Night. And then Friday is, I hope, our open air service. We have tried to solve the internet problem down in the valley. So hopefully we'll be outdoors for Christmas. All those who are indoors, unable to move, you join us and celebrate with us. You just wear a t-shirt in the house. You get it? Or even bare chest so that you feel free, that winter is not controlling you again. Yes. And try to rejoice and celebrate. Amen. Because Christmas is called what? Joy to the World Day. Amen. Take your offering out and let's give it right now. Plus your tithes, plus everything. Ashes, receive the offering in this moment. It is a great opportunity, a great blessing, great power is being manifest now in this surge season of supernatural upgrades. If you are in the UK, for instance, you have the offering where you give in the church, everywhere. Like Joseph, be faithful. Be faithful. What belongs to Pharaoh, you bring it to Pharaoh. Say, it's Pharaoh's money. I'm not going to keep it. I brought everything. He could have taken all to Goshen before I realized there's corruption. Goshen has got stockpiles of money. Hey! And it would have been a real somewhere beast. Then they would have arrested Joseph for corruption. He has betrayed Pharaoh. And then he's under arrest now. He was trusted. Pharaoh trusted him, but he was an unarata. Wow. What a blessing to have faithful people. And I know you are all faithful people. Beautiful. All right? We are hoping to reopen the center, the First Love Center, very soon. Yes. And our largest constituency, we have constituencies in the church. Our largest constituency is going to be the secondary schools. Now we want the church to have people. Secondary school in Ghana, they ask you to cut your hair. Yeah. We are going to have a lot. You see the people, a girl who looks like a boy, plenty. That's going to be our largest constituency. And when we are having church service, we are expecting 20 votes from here, 10 from here, this from here, this from here. We are expecting the collation centers will be working to collect all the data as the members are coming from every corner. Yes, the pink sheets. Ours are red sheets because the first love is red. Red and white sheets. Hot love. And all secondary schools are our constituencies. Yes, each school is a constituency. We are bringing them. Jesus. You were born again in secondary school. Yes, that's it. Born again. I was born again in secondary school. Most of the people who are born again, I know they were all born again in secondary school. Secondary school will never hold us back. No. You can't keep us away. Because every bad thing is in the secondary school. Including betting. Your father has given you money and you are betting. Yes. I never knew that people are into betting. If you want to be hungry, these two, hungry or poor, then continue betting. I prophesy hunger and poverty. They are going to be your portion. Yeah. You know, I know somebody, one day he went out. When he came, he spoke to his wife. He was very quiet and very sad. He has gambled and betted $80,000 and lost. He had lost $80,000 that night. Yes. I'm talking of real people. Yes. I'm not imaginary stories. Real people. 80,000 one night. He had lost 80,000 from gambling. That's why I'm telling that if you want to be poor and you want to be hungry, yes. Yes. I know somebody, his father sent him to school. When he went to school, he went somewhere to go gambling. And when he finished betting, all his money got finished. And he walked from, it was something like from Mampong to Accra. Yes. Yes, he walked all, because he was far from the house and he had lost all his money on gambling, betting. So I'm just warning you. So our constituents are going, because I see too many girls with nice hair. But I want the ones who look like boys. I want girls who look like boys. Plenty to be in the school. They are our constituents. Yes, each constituency. We'll be counting them on our collation centers. Every Sunday is election for us. Every Sunday is election. We are just waiting to restart. It's very exciting. Are you excited about it? Yeah. Every Sunday is like an election for us. We'll be working. Yes. That's returning officers will be coming with the members. Yes, from the different constituencies. Beautiful. Father, thank you for this great and amazing blessing. Everyone who is giving is mightily blessed today. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Are you excited to be in the house of God? You don't sound excited, First Love Church. If you are alive, give the Lord a shout of praise. Tell your neighbor, this is not how to behave in church. Tell your neighbor, in church we shout amen. Tell your neighbor, in church we shout preach. In church we say, I receive it. Now tell your neighbor, in church we believe that nothing is impossible when we put our trust in God. Are you expecting a miracle from Jesus today? Lift your voice and sing it.
Nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God.
Let me see your hands lifted as we sing. Nothing is impossible when we're trusting,
in His word. Hearken to the voice of God to thee. Is there anything too hard for me? Then put your trust in God alone and rest upon His word. For everything is possible.
At the back, you believe that nothing is impossible for God. Oh, come on, lift your hands and sing it again.
Nothing is impossible when you put your trust.
If you believe it, sing nothing is impossible when we are trusting in His word.
It's impossible when you're trusting in His word. Hearken to the voice of God to thee. Is there anything too hard for me? Then put your trust in God alone and rest upon His word.
For everything. I can't hear you.
For everything. Yes, everything is possible.
From the back to the front, give the Lord your loudest shout and celebration of praise as we welcome my father and your father, Bishop Dag Heward Mills. Come on, give the Lord a shout.
Hallelujah. Father, we are so excited. Just lift your hands and pray. You know, today's message is very, very important. And I want you to just pray for a moment that God would, like, give you personally a spirit of revelation for you, not a general thing. Just pray for a moment. Thank you. Father, thank you for a personal revelation for the next step forward for everyone here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, thanks a million for what you have done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, you may be seated in the presence. This year, the coming year, you are going to buy a car. Or get a car. In Jesus' name. Amen. Receive it. Nothing less than 10 cars have been released in the atmosphere. Amen. You know, I look out of the window and I see the car park largely empty. Because it's like young people don't have cars. You see. And I'm believing God. And I know that He's going to provide. You'll be a young person. You'll be just moving. And somebody will say, is this car new? So yeah, it's a new car. How did you get it? So by a prophetic provision of the Lord, I suddenly receive a car. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, last week I began on a new series which I call The Next Step Forward. Now, I believe that the next step forward is a humble step, a step of humility. And so today in chapter 11 of my little book, Those Who Are Proud, we're going to look at Vashti. And there you see a lady who could have taken the next step forward. All right? Now, Vashti was a lady who became proud. All right? And she was thrown down. Now, why do we know that she was proud? Right? Because the Bible says that pride goeth before destruction. Pride goes before destruction. So, a haughty spirit, that is a haughty spirit, which is a proud spirit. It shows you that pride is a spirit. Pride is a spirit. So we know that Vashti was a proud woman. Now, even though it's a woman, this is a message that applies to men. And it's not about marriage. It's not about marriage, in case you are thinking of marriage. Although marriage is one of the commonest arenas for the display of pride. Okay? So pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit, high spirit, before a fall. So there's always pride before a fall. So Vashti fell out of the chair that she was sitting as the queen. Okay? And that's how we know that she was proud. I don't think you are getting what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to explain to you that the Bible does not say that Vashti was proud. Do you see? And also, nobody can easily tell you that you are proud. If somebody tells you, you'll be surprised the long reaction that you have. Like, can you turn off your phones, please? Just turn it off. And don't hold your phone. Lift your phone so that I see that you hold it. It's like your gun. And put it away. Put it away. Don't put it on and on your body, because all the radiations from the phone will be entering your body, entering your intestines, your organs, your uterus, everything. It will be going into it. So you don't need that radiation. So turn it off so it's off, and then you put it in your pocket. But don't leave it on and on your body. You see people putting their phone in their pocket and all that. That's why we have all these cancers and other things. It's all connected to these radiations. So turn it off and then just listen to me. 30 minutes, I will stop preaching just now. Then you'll be free to do whatever you want to do. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. So please check that your neighbor has switched it off. Inspect your neighbor's phone, please. Check. Can I see your phone, please? And just prove it to him that it's off. Tell the person, my name is Inspector, whatever, and then just inspect the phone. Can I inspect your phone, please? Anybody who is sitting there aloof is proud already. Straight away, yeah. You're sitting there like you don't understand the message. You don't get what you are saying then. It's like you're already proud. Just turn it off and don't put it on your body when it's on. I hope you are learning something in church. It's not a good thing, I'm telling you. Look, 40 years ago, there was nothing like breast cancer. And there was, but it wasn't like this. There was nothing like most of the cancers that are around. What is new is what is new in our world that was not there. It's the waves and the internet, the electromagnetic, the masts, the radar, everything. Okay? So, please, trust me. The small lesson you are learning, all right? Though years ago, you never see a young person dying. Never. Only old people die. Now you see younger people dying. All right? Okay, where were we? The Bible doesn't say Vashti was a proud woman. No. But we see that she fell. So a fall, Bible says a haughty spirit comes before a fall. So it's because of her fall that we are saying that she was proud. So if you are fallen or destroyed in any way, you have to diagnose yourself. Because nobody can tell you. When they tell you, you will argue. If they send it, the text you will reply will be very long. Are you with me? The text you will send back and the explanations will be so long that nobody can make head or tail of what you are saying. It will be a long argument. So let us see that wherever you see a fall or distraction, diagnosis what? Diagnosis. I don't hear anybody at the back. You can't see. Yes. So, very important for you to see. If you are in a relationship and the relationship has ended, you've been set aside for another person. Do you see? Huh? You should diagnose what? Diagnose pride. Because anybody who tells you that you are proud, you will not agree. Have you ever told somebody? I have told a number of people that they were proud, and you see the responses that I got. Long text messages and responses, replies, argument, talking, explanations. So I'm just showing you the scripture so that you decide for yourself that this thing is pride. That's all. Where you see a fall, Proverbs 16 verse 18, and Vashti is an example of that. So we are talking about the next step forward. That if you are on a throne or at an elevated place and God has honored you, or wherever you are, maybe you may not even know that it's elevated, because most of the time we don't know that we are blessed till the blessing is gone. Then we say, ah, I was in a good place. So when I look at the crusades and the places we've been, I say, hey, it was a good time. Oh, that's how I feel. I didn't even know that it was such a great time. I'm telling you. I didn't even know. Even now, when I look at the First Love Center, the videos or the services we had and the times we had, I was recently looking at some pictures from when we were at the Commonwealth. They were great times. They were great times. Most of the time, you don't know that it's even in a good place. So next step forward can help us by looking at the life of Vashti, the little glimpses we have of her, to help us, you get it, to see what the next step forward for me. And no, you know, I heard Derek Prince, I was listening to a message he preached called Humble Thyself. And he was preaching from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. That if my people who are called by my name, he said the first condition is humble yourself. And that is something that nobody can do for you. You have to humble yourself. He was saying that, he was preaching in England, and he said that England is suffering from pride. He said there is nobody who is more English than himself. And so, who is more English and more proud to be English than he. And that he's telling them that their problem is pride. And that he said, as he was preaching, he said that there is nobody in this room who does not need to humble himself. He said that everybody sitting here is suffering from pride in one way or another. I'm telling you. And he said that before even prayer comes in, he says, if my people who are called by my name shall first of all humble themselves, you know, and then pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then you start moving forward. And I will heal your land. So, you may think, oh, me, I'm just a young person. I don't have pride. When I grow up, there'll be pride. But now, there's no pride. You know. The fact that you argue with your mother, and there's a long discussion with your father, and that there's a long meeting about anything, it shows you the pride that is there. That's the sign. So, looking at Vashti, just for 20 minutes, this is a short message. I've already finished preaching, but just to, you know, go on. Now, number one, step, the next step forward. Step number one, obedience. Obedience will make the proof that you are humble and will take you forward. Obedience. Or performing the commandment. You can write it that way. Perform the commandment. And I want to read from my book. It says, we cannot know or say that you are humble because of what you say about yourself. That these books are powerful, I'm telling you. We cannot know or say that you are humble because of what you say about yourself. We can say you are proud if your life follows the example of Vashti. Vashti did not obey her husband. Not obeying a husband is a sign that you are like Vashti, and therefore it is a sign that you are proud. Esther chapter 1, verse 15. What shall we do unto the queen Vashti according to law? Because she has not performed the commandment of King Ahasuerus by the chamberlains. Actually, let's get to chapter 1 because some of you may not even know the story. Yeah, you know how it is. Esther chapter 1 verse 1. This is what happened during the time of Xerxes. Okay? At the time, King Xerxes reigned from his royal throne. I'm reading from the NIV. And in the third year, he gave a banquet for his nobles, the military leaders of Persia and Media, the princes, the nobles were present. For a full 180 days, he displayed the vast wealth of his kingdom, the splendor and glory of his majesty. Huh? 180 days. Yeah. When these days were over, the king gave a banquet lasting 7 days in the enclosed garden of the king's palace. For all the people from the least to the greatest who were in the citadel of Susa. The garden had hangings of white and blue linen fastened with cords of white linen and purple material to silver rings on marble pillars. There were couches of gold and silver on a mosaic pavement of porphyry, marble, mother of pearl, and other costly stones. Clap for the king Xerxes. The guy was wild. Wine was served in goblets of gold, each one different from the other. And the royal wine was abundant in keeping with the king's liberality. By the king's command, each guest was allowed to drink with no restrictions. Now, I told you, Jesus took 5,000 people for dinner. It's a sign of your blessing. Now, Queen Vashti, by the king's command, everybody was allowed to drink with no restriction, for the king instructed all the wine stewards to serve each man what he wished. Queen Vashti also gave a banquet for the women in the royal palace of King Xerxes. On the seventh day, when King Xerxes was in high spirits from wine. High spirits. He commanded the seven eunuchs who served him, Mehuman, Bista, Harbona, Biktha, Abaktha, Zetha, and Kakas, to bring before him Queen Vashti wearing her royal crown in order to display her beauty to the people and nobles, for she was lovely to look at. But when the attendants delivered the king's command, Queen Vashti refused to come. Then the king became furious and burned with anger. Since it was customary for the king to consult experts in matters of law and justice, he spoke with the wise men who understood the times and who were closest to the king. Kashina, Shitha, Admatha, Tashish, Meres, Masina, and Memucan, the seven nobles of Persia and Media, who had special access to the king and were highest in the kingdom. According to law, what must be done to Queen Vashti? He asked. She has not obeyed the command of King Xerxes that the eunuchs have taken to her. Then Memucan replied in the presence of the king and the nobles, Queen Vashti has done wrong, not only against the king, but also against all the nobles and the peoples of all the provinces of Xerxes. For the queen's conduct will become known to all the women. And so they will despise their husbands and say, King Xerxes commanded Queen Vashti to be brought before him, but she would not come. This very day, the Persian and Median women of the nobility who have heard about the queen's conduct will respond to all the king's nobles in the same way. And there will be no end of disrespect and discord. There will be no end of disrespect. Therefore, if it pleases the king, let him issue a royal decree and let it be written in the laws of Persia that Vashti is never again to enter the presence of King Xerxes. Also, let the king give her royal position to someone else who is better than she. And when the king's edict is proclaimed throughout all his vast realm, all the women will respect their husbands from the least to the greatest. The king, far more for Xerxes, isn't it? The king and his nobles were pleased with this advice. So the king did as Memucan proposed, and he sent dispatches to all parts of the kingdom, to each province in his own script, and to each people in their own language, proclaiming that every man should be ruler over his own household using his native tongue. Makata pala baba shabada laba. Later, when Xerxes' fury had subsided, he remembered Vashti and what she had done and what he had decreed about her. Then the king's personal attendants proposed, let a search be made for beautiful young virgins for the king, and let the king appoint commissioners in every province of his realm to bring all these beautiful young women into the harem, and let them be placed under the care of the king's eunuch. And let the young woman who pleases the king be queen instead of Vashti. And he followed it. Amen. Now, the first step forward is obedience, or performing the king's, the commandment. Amen. You see, she said, I will not come. When he said, come, I will not come. So the next step forward in your life, because you see, Vashti was going down, but she could have gone up. She could have gone even higher. So the next step is obedience. Trust me, obedience will take you very far. So again, you say, I'm not disobedient. I obey everything. Me? You see, that's why I don't want to preach to you personally. I'm just preaching generally. So that's why I asked you to pray before we started. So that if God himself can reveal to you something. I think we should pray again. Let's pray again. Because I think that we all feel these things don't apply to us. Let's pray. Lift your hands and pray. You are watching me in Milton Keynes and Newcastle and London and New York and California and Geneva and Zurich. Pray. Lift your hand and pray. The next step forward. Father, give us the next step forward in humility. Grant us the grace. Let us not be found wanting. Let us see what is so difficult to see. Thank you for the next good step forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you for revelation to everyone. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Obedience is your next step forward. The pride makes you not obey things. Yeah. If I send a missionary, go here, and I say to them, this is the most important thing you should do over there. There's a pride that, oh, what you are saying, you don't know what's happening here. Straight away. That's why you are saying what you should do. If we say, do this, and you say, oh, you are a man, that's why you are saying what you are saying. You are a man. Mm-hmm. You see, straight away, for the fact that you can say, but you are a man, so even you wouldn't voice it out. But you can see that there's a certain pride a greatness in you, unwarranted greatness, that makes you say, but you are a man, that's why you are preaching like this. If you're not a man, you wouldn't preach this message. So it's already you are rebuking me. And for you to rebuke me, you must be as great as me. Because the lesser is blessed of the greater. So since I'm not blessing you, but we are having an argument, do you see, you are as great as I am. Yes, that's why I'm not able to bless you. These are the realities. You may not want to accept it. When I say, do this, I say, it's you because of your father, this and that and that. That is why you are saying this. You know, you have an answer for everything. And a reason why not certain things can be done or should be done. Or you say, you are this. When I spoke about mortgages, they say, but you are from Ghana. You don't know what is happening here. Straight away, you've rebuked me. You've rebuked me. I shouldn't have bothered to speak to you because I was speaking to someone who it knows far better. And it's like what I'm saying is nonsense to you. And you know so much. And it's like you are so great and I'm your equal, or we are co-equals arguing about something. So lack of obedience is a sign of pride. Always is a sign of pride. So my pastors, bishops, leaders, shepherds, leaders, vasentally, whatever, the less obedient, the more proud they are. So trust me, if Vashti had taken the step of obedience, just one step, flow. She would never have gone down. She would have, at least she would have maintained. Even if she didn't go higher, she would have, the pit that she fell into, she wouldn't have fallen into that pit. Yeah. Now, another area of disobedience is disobedience in little things. Because, like Derek Prince said, when the Lord called him, the Lord told him, this was very strong. I was listening to him one night. It was in the middle of the night. When I heard it, I had to rush back to where I was listening to the gadget from, and I had to rewind to listen to that place several times. He said that you must be very careful to obey me in the big things and the little things. Little things, you know, the Bible says the little foxes spoil the vine. It is actually little things that destroy, not big things. Well, what I find is like, for instance, you tell somebody big things, pray, fast, visit, counsel, they obey all. When it comes to something small, which wouldn't make so much of a difference, the little foxes, that's what brings distraction. Failure to follow a simple, small, little instruction is actually also a sign of pride, because usually on those topics, we have a lot of pride. We say, what do you know about that? What do you know about that? How does that come in? I told one young man who was playing football. I went as far as to call the coach in England. It was an English soccer team. I went as far as to call with my own time. I spoke to that man for at least half an hour on his behalf. Yes. And he said, this. And I told the boy, I said, I gave him only one piece of advice. I said, cut your hair so that you look like a young person. Don't have this funny hairstyle. Just be a boy. You'll be chosen. Always you are chosen when you look young. Don't believe it. Not obey. That's all. When you tell them too much. Yeah, just cut your hair. Oh, yes. You see a girl, she looks like she's 40, 48. When you ask her, she's 23. Yes. And she looks 48. Everybody sees her. You look nice, you know. Hey, I like your dress. But nobody will tell you that you look like 48. Yeah. And the one who lowers himself to venture, to make himself vulnerable, to tell you that this hairstyle makes you an old lady, you rubbish it. That's why people keep to themselves. You just look at it. How is it? It is by the grace of God. Even a smile, you not get a smile. What do you know about that? How do you come into this area? But I'm telling you, if you ever get an instruction, you are blessed. Trust me. I'll say what I was saying before. We walk using common sense. Common sense. Like, how do you walk? Just move. Just take the next step. And you are walking. That's common sense. Running, you need principles. There's a way they run. You spring. Did you know that? You don't see anybody wearing this type of dress to run 100 meters. You must be joking. Because there are principles involved in acquiring that speed. There are principles that are used to run fast. You get what I'm saying? Yes. And now for a man to fly, you need instructions. Instructions are, do this, do this, do this. That's why every flying school has instructors. Not wise men, instructors who are giving instructions. Do this, do this, do this. That's what makes you go high and far and enter the air. Something that is supernatural. If you ever get to be told something, Vashti, if only there was somebody to, hey, go for the party. Go for the party, dress and go now. Stupid girl. Hey, but there was nobody. The difference between Esther and Vashti is that Esther had this man, Mordecai. He was always telling her, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. Vashti had, she was like independent-minded. She's her own manager. She's a manager of herself. She was a manager. Her own manager. One of the things that has amazed me is that the greatest sports people have coaches. Yeah. Yesterday I just saw a short clip. Tiger Woods was playing with his son. Small boy. The boy can play. And they said he was working with his famous father. That's how they describe it. His famous father. He was playing with his father. Yeah. And as I observed a little in the career of Tiger Woods, you know, was even his change of coach. And you ask yourself, you're the player. What do you need somebody else to tell you what to do? You are the master of golf. You are the best. But see, when you are digging a gutter and it's going like this, it's the one who's standing back who can see that it's going right, it's going right, it's going right, it's going right. But you can't see it yourself. So if you will ever have the privilege to have somebody to make an input, yeah, if Vashti had somebody to say, go for the party now. Have you bathed? Have you bathed? Have your bath right now. Quickly, get it. It's an emergency. Which dress are you going to wear? Let's iron it quickly. Let's get ourselves ready. Now you are going. Leave the house in 10 minutes. No delay. 12 eunuchs have come for you. You are still in the house. She said, go tell him I'm not coming. So, obedience and even openness to instructions. It will help you, I'm telling you. You may not believe it. You know why I'm saying this? Because you see, I am a man who has very little instruction from people. Almost none. Yeah, I have almost no instructions. Yes, I have instructions from the Lord. So I feel jealous for people who are told to do this. It's so easy. Who instructs me? Who tells me, do this? Do this. Write this book. Who tells me? Do a church now. Move to Mampong. Okay, go and build this. This is not the first campus we started building. We started building another campus. We built the foundations. We built the hall, the great hall. We have another great hall apart from this hall. Yes. Another great hall. We finished. We were going up. When the trucks which were taking materials to the site, when there was a river, and because of the river, we couldn't continue the project. I mean, it rained and then the place became a river. You know, you must buy land in the rainy season so that you know whether it's a river you are buying. Yes. Oh, yes. Yes. This is the second great hall I've started building. Yes. This is not the first great hall. Who told me to move? I just felt the Lord say, move from there. It's not working. Go and start again. I just came here. Just can say, I called my secretary, say, look, let's move. Forget about all that we have done at this side. Let's move and just get on. Otherwise, we'll never do it. I wish it was easy like that. Somebody said, you know, do this. Here is this. Go here. Go. So the next step forward in your life, trust. And you can see. When you see somebody in SHS, is in class, Form 3. You are almost like God to the person. When you tell the person, almost everything you say to the person is correct. Is it not true? That's how it is. But where the person seems like a co-equal. There was once a video. Are you my co-equal? There was something in Ghana we had that. Are you? Who said that? Are you my co-equal? Yeah. So the next step forward for you is obedience. Try. Don't despise anything little. Listen. Listen to it. Many years ago, I remember I traveled to Malaysia. My pastor, there, you know, he asked me, so you're having a crusade? I said, yeah, I'm having a crusade. He said, you preach in church? I said, no, not much. I don't. He told me, preach in your church. Preach in your church yourself. Okay. He told me. I said, really? He said, and I was completely not in that mode. He said, no, preach in your church. Then he told me a story. He said that there was a man, they had a problem with some dogs. And then nobody could control the dogs. Then they called a man, the one who feeds them. It was when the man who feed them came to the house that the dogs calmed down and they were able to control. And he said to me that the one who feeds the people is the one that is the leader and that the people will respond to. So don't stop preaching in your church. That's what he just gave me that. But you see, it was contrary to what I was doing. But I remember when he said that when a grown-up advises you about something, listen to what he's saying. Don't throw it away. I've had different times where it's like it's contrary to what I want to hear, what I want to do, what I want to hear. I don't want to hear this thing at all. When I became a bishop, the first way I became a bishop, I made an announcement in the church that from today I'm a bishop. That's how I became a bishop. Yes. Yes. Listen. Somebody called me and told me, and I said, what you've done is not a good thing. You know, that's not how you become a bishop. It's not a good precedent. And he gave me advice. That's what I meant. But he cannot control me because I'm not. But I listened to what he said. Although I don't want to hear it at all, because I've already announced in my church that I'm a bishop. Because a bishop in the Church of England, you oversee 12 churches. That's it. Then you become a bishop. So I had 70 churches. I was 5 bishops already. Yeah. But you see, I don't want to hear what you are saying. I know what I'm talking, I know who I'm preaching to. I said, and I found there's an archbishop. He's dead now. An archbishop in England. Yeah. A charismatic archbishop. And I made all the arrangements. And he consecrated me as a bishop. Even though I've already announced that I'm a bishop. Just to follow. I said, let me follow this advice. Yes. You see, and see, that set a precedent and made it possible for me to carry on and now consecrate people in the church properly and make it. You don't just become a bishop by just get up in your branch and say, hey, you guys, from today, I'm a bishop. Call me bishop. I have 12 churches. Are you listening to me? I don't want to hear what you are saying. I don't want to hear what you are saying. It is contrary to what I think and how I do my things. Don't you know that Fanties fry fish differently from Gans? Huh? They fry fish different. If you taste a fish that has been fried by a Fanti, it's different from a Gar. The Gar is far nicer than Fanti. Now, if I come to you and I tell you, I need you to fry your fish as though you are a gun person, fry it in that way. I don't know what to do in my family, my this. It happens in marriages. When we have marriage counseling, there are so many things that are contrary to your nature. There is no woman who does well in marriage without a lot of instructions that you are told, do this, and you do. It's not possible. You automatically be a bad woman. 100%. From experience, I've been doing this for 35 years. Trust me. 35 years, I know. Automatically, you'll be a bad wife. And you'll be praising yourself with your badness, like this one. You'll be praising yourself to the glory of God. Don't forget that Vashti was having a women's meeting. She was the leader of the women. She was filled with the leadership in her head. And that contributed. And you see, many churches don't have women's meetings. Because it affects them and they praise themselves. When actually there's something wrong with them. I see, that's why I said that. Let's preach generally so that you apply the message to yourself privately as the Spirit of Revelation applies it to you. Are you still listening? I don't want to force anything on you. Just listen to the word. So obedience. Amen. Number two, we'll take you forward. Softness. Softness is the next step. Esther chapter 1, verse 10. Esther chapter 1. Verse 10. On the seventh day, when King Xerxes was in high spirits from wine, he commanded the seven eunuchs, or seven delegates. He commanded them, "Bring me my queen wearing her royal crown in order to display her beauty to the people. But she was lovely to look at." Now, if we are having a marriage seminar, I will give you five keys here. But because it's church, I'll leave the five keys out, and then I'll just share the general keys. But when the attendants delivered the king's command, Queen Vashti refused to come. She refused. Seven men. How many eunuchs? Seven. Now, the next step forward is softness. I don't know what English word to help. Softness, flowing. Being soft and flowing will take you forward. Why? Because the Bible says in James 3, the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, then easy to be entreated. Easy to be entreated. James chapter 3. All right? It says the wisdom from above, like God's wisdom is first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. But what we are interested in is pure, then peaceful, gentle, and easy to be entreated. Easy. It's easy to talk to you and to change your mind. It's easy. Easy. Do you hear the word easy? Easy. What's the meaning of easy? Please check easy. Easy. This woman, seven grown, and you know, when you are castrated and you become a eunuch, you become bigger. So you should have seen Vashti, a little petite woman. With her little body, she was there. These big men were there. I said, I am not coming. Tell him, I say, I'm not coming. This time, I'm having a women's meeting. We are having our own banquet. It's the wrong time. I need the meaning of the word easy. The wisdom from above. Easy. Easy. Now, how do we know that you are not easy to be entreated? It takes a long time. Meetings. Long talking, explanations. When we are speaking, we need parables, we need illustrations, we need comparisons, we need diagrams, we need charts, graphs. Look at the word easy. It means requiring little skill or effort. We don't require much skill to talk to you. That means you are soft. Yes, but not soft in a bad way, for people to abuse you. Yes. You don't have to be soft about allowing people to have sex with you or allowing people to abuse you. That's stupidity. It's not the softness I'm talking about. You are mad. You are a fool. And I've not mentioned your name. It's a general preaching. Get your own revelation from the preaching. You, a boy, can just talk to you and then you are just undressing. Fool. Have I mentioned your name? Softness. We can talk to you. You just have to start talking. So I understand what you are saying. It's happening now. You should be ashamed of yourself. Write it down. I'm ashamed of long meetings from today. I'm ashamed of any long meeting that goes on in my life. I'm ashamed of it. Oh, you've turned off your phone. Don't turn it on. Don't use it as an excuse. Write it in your head, and after church, as soon as we open the phone, then you write it. I'm ashamed of every long meeting, discussion, comparison, chat, diagram, pictures, anything that has to be shown to me before I understand something. I'm ashamed of it. You are not soft enough. I tell you, if you want to have a quality that will endear people to you, endear you in a certain way, is that flow. Yes. Why do you think I came to First Love Church? Why do you think I came to First Love Church? I prefer First Love Church to any church that I'll be preaching in because there's a flow. Yes. There's a flow. It's like, oh, let's do this. We are doing it. Let's do this. We are doing that. I'm not saying that other churches are not good, but I'm saying that I prefer. Can I not prefer something in the world? Is this a problem also? Do we have to have an election over this? Yes. So from today, be relaxed, like you are not the problem. Yeah, one day there was a senior man of God, and somebody was talking. Oh, this man, we don't know. They were talking about me. He said, no, it's not a problem. If I tell him, he will come. He will go. He was talking about. He said, oh, if I tell him, he will come. And when he said that, I was happy. He said, hey, it's good that they've made a good comment about me. Yes, if I tell him, he will come. What about you? What about you? You, your headmistress cannot change you. Your headmaster cannot change you. Your housemaster cannot change you. Nobody can change you in the world. Talking. Why? Today marks the end of long meetings and long analysis and long discussions in your life. In Jesus' name. If you come with a boy and say, this is the boy that I want to marry, and you hear the word say, no. Go, thank you. Just say, thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye. Don't.
No discussion.
That's all. Finish. Say, bye-bye. I'm so happy you said no. I'm excited. I want to have a party. If you will get for somebody to say, or somebody says, yes. So as for Vashti, she said no. Each of the guys, you see, that's why the names of the delegates were mentioned. Seven of them. Everybody talked to her. She said, explain. You say, I want to explain this. I want you to see. Look at the name, Mehuman. Yay, such a big name. And you people, do you understand castration? Do you understand what it means? It means you are very big. You know, some years ago, my wife, at that time she was not my wife, she was staying somewhere with a friend, and in that house, they had a big dog. So I visited her one day, and when I went through the gate and I saw the dog, look, the dog is like a small cow, like it is like something like this, very huge. As soon as I saw, I went out of the gate. I said, and she said, no, don't worry, this one is nothing, it's like this. I said, why? He said, oh, he's been castrated. He has grown oversized. Big. Powerless, but big. He's like a puppy. Big. Well, that's when you fear when you see the size. And that's the size of this Mehuman's. Bista, Habona, Bicta, Abacta. The names even are heavy duty names. Seven of them. None of them could convince Vashti to change her mind. What is this? Honor like quiet, but Charlie, you'll be shocked. Zita, Kakas. Kakas couldn't change your mind. So, I believe your next step is flow. Easy to be entreated. You are going to go forward in your life. Number three. Believe that there is an alternative to you. Yes. It must be in your heart that there is an alternative to you. You are not the last stop. Esther chapter 1, verse 19. Tamakata sopata kapaka paka paka pa. Therefore, verse 19, if it pleases the king, let him issue a royal decree and let it be written in the laws of Persia and Media, which cannot be repealed, that Vashti is never again to enter the presence of King Xerxes. Let the king give her royal position to someone else who is better than she. Step number three. It's important for you to know that there is a better alternative to you. Yes. There is someone better than you. There's someone better than me in what I'm doing. When you think that way, it makes you sit in your chair very wildly, say, you know. There was actually a nicer woman than Vashti. That's the woman that they went to get, better than she. Yeah, there's actually a nicer person than you. And better. Better in so many ways. She's better in what? Mention the seven areas. Cooking. Softness. Look, one brother said once, he said, oh, my wife cannot do this, cannot do it, but she's very soft. So I like her, just as she is. Yes. So there's actually somebody who is nicer than you in terms of the fact the person is actually softer. And what else? There's actually somebody who can cook. Like, the person is like a magician or a magician. Yes. Magician, or if you prefer, magician. There is a better alternative. She's better at cooking. There's somebody who is... I remember some years ago, I visited my beloved. I used an Air Force plane to visit her in Takoradi. Now, I was into visitation. Yes, I was into visitation. I risked my life to visit her. You know, I sat on that plane is a whole on tight plane, yes. Because you can see through. Like you are sitting in a plane, you can see the ground. Yes, the doors closed, but not completely. So you see through and you sort of feel the air around. Air Force. Yes. And I flew to Takoradi to visit her. Yeah. When I got there, well, the plane was coming back. So I left the plane. I said, I'll be back. And I went to the house. When I got there, they were not expecting. And within some time, the kind of food that was organized. Na makata oloba asabarila. Magician. So there is somebody better than you. That you see people come home and it's like there's food over there. If you want. Food that cannot be eaten. Food that is not nice. Food that there is no salt. There is no pepper. There is no spice. It's a deep freezer food. It's not hot. You see, one day, a husband was having an argument with his wife. Because he gave him some food. I didn't rice and stew or something like that. And this brother said, I like hot food. So when he started, he said that the rice is cold. I don't like it. So she explained, it was a long argument. She explained to him that the stew is heating the rice. So you have to wait for the stew to heat the rice. You get what I'm saying? So as the stew will heat the rice, then you eat it. It was a long argument. It was an argument. The stew will heat the rice. Yes. By conduction and convection. Yes. The stew is heating the rice. There's a better alternative to you in when it comes to food. And what again? Pleasant. Pleasant. And number five. Chatting. Look at you. You are more like the Statue of Liberty. You have no words. No words. There are no words that come out of your mouth. Yes, you are jolly in church. Yes, you are chatting in church. Yes, you are happy. But as soon as we're alone with you, there is silence in court. Are you watching me in London? I'm talking to you guys there as well. Kapata, it's a revelation. Just receive it for yourself. And what again? There is a better one. He said, let us choose somebody who is better. You see, you have to be conscious. There are better people. There are better people. Better. Better at what again? Bedmatics. What is that? Bedmatics is what? Acrobatics. What that? Acrobatics in the bed. There are better alternatives to you. There are magicians in the bed. Magicians. Magic what? Shans. Believe it. Some people's marriage is like a film. Yes, when they what their experience is like a film. It's like a movie. It's like a what? Movie. Something that is moving. Hey! Mata kata bola basha barambala. One sister told me, she said, I said, what have you been doing for your husband? She said, oh, I've been dancing for him. She said, I dance for him in the twilight, in the evening, in the midnight. Hey! Nakata laba shabada bandalaba. It's a movie. Believe it. There are better alternatives to you. And what else? Better at dressing. So some of you, when you dress, it's like you are wearing a fishing net. As if you just, found the nearest fishing net and you wore it and you came. It's true. A sack. And worst of all, when we meet you in the house, you think that Bob Marley has reincarnated. Or we may even think that you are a schoolboy, secondary school, whose hair is finished. turn to the nearest person who is not smiling and say, you, you are one of these. These messages are applying in your direction. You see, we know you. You will never leave. Don't accept things. Tell the person, you, you see, I know. All right. What work are you doing? What job do you do? There is somebody who is better than you. The job you are doing, there is somebody who is better than you. But you see, you don't think so. Because you've been doing it for so long. There is somebody who is better than you. Yes, more efficient. The person's results are better. Yeah. Yeah. Person is faster. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, what role do you play? So I give money to support. There is somebody who's better than the person who won't talk. I was watching Benny Hinn the other day, and he was saying, you know, when his divorce crisis came, he divorced and he remarried the same person. When the divorce crisis came, the lawyers, they decided to charge him. They were charging him hundreds of thousands of dollars. Then one day, he was there, and a lady, she was with her husband, and she had a dream. And in the dream, she saw herself helping Benny Hinn. Yeah. And when she woke up, she told her husband, I've had a dream. I think God has spoken to me that we should help Benny Hinn. So they came to him. And the man told him, said, listen, the crisis you are in, I don't know, whatever is the reason, we don't know. But God said we should help. That whatever bill comes to you, we will pay for it. So he said, oh, are you sure? You know, it's a lot of money. He said, every bill that comes, send it to me. Send the bill to me. We will pay. Me and my wife, we will just pay. So the bill started to come. 5,000, 10,000, this thousand. Then he said he felt so bad. It's like every time he have to call this person. So he told him that I feel terrible. A bill that came to over $700,000. Yeah. He said, it's too much. The man said, no, don't worry. Don't worry. Leave it to us. So he said, I feel terrible to be asking you for this. There's somebody better at you. And then he told, he said, listen, please inform the lawyers not to send you any bill. They should send it directly to me. They shouldn't pass through. You directly to me. I will pay the bill. There's somebody better than you at giving. That small giving you are doing, there's somebody who does it even better and higher. Over 700 and something thousand dollars. He said they paid everything. He said, I had the dream. She woke up, and as I told her husband, I had the dream. I think God wants us to help this man. That's all. That's all. God wants us to help this man. Oh, yes. There are people that are better than you at everything you are doing. I'm telling you, take it from me, because I've worked with many people, and I've watched people, and I've come to see that. Sometimes I said, like, if this person does this, he'll do it like this. If this person does this, he'll do it like this. I've seen different things, and I see that. Each job that people are doing, there's somebody who can do it better. Believe it. It will make you sit in your chair and value every little role. Because the day that it is taken, you start to say, you know, it was nice to just do this 3 minutes something I was doing. It was a very great thing. But I thought it was nothing. I thought it was nothing. I thought it was nothing. I was just bringing 12 people from this school. I wish I could go back to those days where I bring 12 people from a school, 7 people from here. I wish I could go back. That little message I preached on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I wish I have a chance to preach it again. It was a great time. It was a great time. It was a great time. It was a good thing. It was a good thing. I tell you, there is an alternative to you. Trust me, I've been doing this work for 35 years. Trust me, there is an alternative to you. What you think you are doing. Sit on your chair well. Hold on tight and try to excel in what you are doing. I'm telling you. Because there is somebody who is better than all the churches. Most of us become proud. That's why God raises up. You see, the people that God raises up, every time a church is born, there are always grown-up churches before. They don't respect that somebody, when the Catholic Church was the only church. You know, some years ago, if you become a Christian, you belong to the Catholic Church. There's no other church. There's only one church in the world, Catholic. That's why we say in the Apostles' Creed, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. Yeah. I believe in a Catholic Church. Then God raised up other churches. There is an alternative to you. Even in Ghana, charismatic churches were not respected. Charismatic churches were not respected. They called us mushroom churches. They called us every name. Now you can't easily win an election without being a little careful with charismatics. Yes. It's true. You got to be careful. I think the next step forward for you is to look at what God has given you to do and say, you know, I like it, Pa. I really like this thing that I've been given. I really want it. And I thank God for all the better alternatives, but I like my place. And I'll never give up my place. I will rather be the improvement. I'll become improved in what I'm doing. I'll improve in what I'm doing. Look at the people who are presidents today. In Ghana, we have our president 76 years old. Donald Trump is 70 what? 70 something. They sit on the throne. You know, we have seen that there are younger people using iPads, but we are here. We are here. Yes, we have seen there are people using iPad and iPhone. We are here. That's why Donald Trump sends Twitter. When he came, he said, I'm my own broadcasting station. I tweet myself. I don't need CNN. I tweet. Please. There is a nicer girl than you and a nicer boy who is better. Better. Better than you. Trust me. You despise your role, you'll be flipped off. And you'll be gone. In Ghana, we used to have only GTV. Today, few people watch GTV. If you are going on TV, at least during the election, we'll be watching Joy, we'll be watching City. They'll hold the screen, they'll do something, then the election thing will change, then we will see who is winning and who is losing. You can sit on your throne if you don't take a better than you will come. Yeah. I don't remember the last time I watched all those channels. If you want to see, you start looking. There is something better and somebody better than you. Think that way. You see that is the next step. See that it's made you cool. Small pounds that you give. Look, some big talking and some attitude to pay tithes. Oh, there are people. When I moved to the First Love Church, I felt to myself, that's the end of money, end of this, end of this, end of... All the things I've done, they all are things that will take away money from you. Crusade, I said, oh, there will be no money again. First Love Church, there are no rich people here, and so on. That's it. Ha. Matakaso balaba. God himself has alternatives to people who feel that they are, you are everything. Yeah. Are you still around? Ah. Okay. We should be ending any moment. Esther chapter 2. The next number 4. Next step forward is become someone who is pleasing. Pleasing to God. And pleasing to whoever you are supposed to be working for. That's the next step. Esther chapter 2. Verse 2. And then said the king's servants, let fair virgins be sought for the king. And let the king appoint officers, that she may gather together all the fair virgins. All right? To the king's palace. To the house of the woman. Keeper of the women. And let the things for purification be given them. And let the maiden which pleaseth the king, please the king, be queen instead of Vashti. Pleasing. Please. We say, to be pleasing you, pleasing you. This to please, what does it mean to please? Find it. To be pleasing. You know, when I pray, I say, Lord, how can I please you? How can I please you? Please you. To please means to make somebody happy, to satisfy the person, and to give pleasure. You see, King Xerxes needed somebody who will make him happy. Not somebody who will accuse him. Somebody who will complain. Somebody who will have something wrong with everything. Somebody who will satisfy him. Or he feels satisfied. Not you. Not how you are. Independent in your world. She was an independent person. Watch out for the independent women. I'm my own person. I can make it on my own. Oh, you lie. You can't. You can't. You need us. To make happy and to give pleasure. To be pleasing. And once again, I pray that you have a revelation about what I'm preaching for yourself. So I please my husband. Indeed. You please him in your own opinion. You please yourself in what you think is pleasing. Yes, it's not about us how you please yourself. You can please yourself, but you don't please another. He said, let us find someone who pleases you. People, you just want to have a child, you want to marry, you want to be Mrs. and you want to wear a ring like this. When you wear the ring like this, then you are Mrs. And actually, you are pleasing yourself and getting all your goals achieved. Yeah. Let's find someone who pleases you. So, brothers and sisters, God is showing you, you know, in relation to God, what pleases God. Can you have sex with God? No. Can you give God chocolate? No. Can you meet God's needs? No. You can find what pleases God. Yes. And in tonight's revival, which is in just about an hour's time, I will be continuing. Yeah. To be pleasing. Oh, I just lift my hand and I ask him, Lord, how can I please you? How can I please you? If you work for someone, think of how to please the person. What does the person want? Not what you think is good for the person. It's easy to come up with what you think, but it's not so easy to please someone. Yeah. It's true. You know, we could have a choir here with choir robes. It doesn't please me. We could have a choir here with choir robes. I'm not into choir robes. We could have a choir singing hymns, hymns choir, but that, it doesn't please me. Hymns choir doesn't please me. Hymns choir is not something that I'm interested in. It doesn't please me. It's a nice thing. It's a good thing, but it doesn't please me. It doesn't please me. It doesn't tickle me. It doesn't satisfy me. I'm not saying it's not good, but I say me. I'm talking about me, not you, not them, not us. Me. You see, I told you it rains at 3 o'clock. Huh? What time is it? Yeah. To be pleasing. Pray from today that grace to be pleasing. Yes. To be pleasing. You've married a white man. And here you are coming with your jollof rice. Very spicy, hot jollof rice. My friend, you are lost. You see, you are not ready for international marriages. You are not. You know, one time I had an American, a white American guy, one of our pastor's friends, and I took him to somewhere. And we got to a restaurant on the road. We were traveling somewhere. And I said, what do you have? They said, we have jollof rice. I told them, jollof rice is very nice. So he ordered jollof rice. I was a bit surprised at his reaction as he started eating the jollof rice. He said, my head is burning. My head is sweating. My head is sweating. My head is burning. My head is sweating. From the jollof rice. My head is sweating. My head is sweating. Hey! Normal jollof. Ah, you see, it's good. We are not outside, but by now. 3 o'clock. He was sweating from the jollof. He said, my head is sweating. It's too much. It's too hot. He ate all. And I think he had running stomach. Yay. You see, you can please yourself. But it does not please the person who you are ministering the thing to. So let's stop trying to please ourselves. But please God and please the one who called us. Stand to your feet, everybody. To be continued. Hallelujah. I've given you 4 steps to the next step forward. Last week you had 7 steps, but today you have 4 steps. Perform the commandment. Be soft and flowing. Believe that there is a better alternative to you. And number 4, become someone who is pleasing to God. To God first of all. And then to wherever else. Lift your holy hands to Jesus. Father, thanks a million. Now, I want you to lift your hand and just chew on these 4 points. Look at the points on the screen. Look at the points on the screen. Look at the points on the screen. And one of these points is jumping out to you. One of these points is jumping. One of these points is jumping. Show the points. 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 One of these points is jumping out to you. Father, thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, thank you. Lift your holy hands and pray. Mataka, the next step forward for your life. Matagabado. Peremandale modala madele. Let another who is better than thee, than her, be brought. Better. Better. My God. Matagabola Shabada Bila Rimoda Bada Bakabasobala. Peramendo la manda la manda le bacapaladazze. Nembaredo la manda le shivora tabaranda riba. To God be the glory, manda kabalonde remenda la madas balandarada. Mande tabalada. Palende ke barambo la mede belen belede. Hele menda la manda le modele makabalade. Palamba de lo mande ramana shando la ba. Mare mandala mandale bodale de makabala. Malombere de kebalandare bekele rembara kabala dombere de lebelende lebele. Mendola mandele bakabarana le manda. Ramandala ba. Balandara bala. Barandara bala. Barandara bala. Mandele bele. Pare mandele ba. Mandola bele. Mara mandala ba. Mere bandala ba. Mere bandala ba. Malamadola, Marena le mandalaba. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Thank you, Lord. 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 Look at these points again. Look at these points again. One of them is jumping out. Maybe another one is jumping. It's jumping in your soul. It's jumping in your spirit. It's jumping in your spirit. Matagabalanora mandala. Obedience, performing the commandment, being soft and gentle, soft and gentle. Mandala kabalamonde, rama soft and flowing. Mando samba, believe that there is a better alternative. Mando sen beliketo lambere nimbo bashamandalaba. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Thanks, 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 thanks. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. As every head is bowed and every eye closed, if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, maybe somebody invited you to church and you want to be born again, want to give your life to the Lord, I want to pray with you. And if you want to give your life to Jesus and say, Father, forgive me for my sins. Make me a new person in you. If you are here like that, lift up your right hand at this moment. I want to pray with you right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. If you are here like that, maybe somebody invited you to church, but deep down in your heart, you know that you are far from God, but you need Jesus. If you are here like that, lift your right hand up high. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. And if you've lifted your hand, I want you to come to me in the front here. Come all the way to the front, and I'm going to pray with you right now. God bless you. If you want to give your life to God, come and stand here. I'm going to pray with you. If you want to give your life to Jesus, come here. I'm going to pray with you right now. God bless you. Come.
Come unto Jesus. Give him your life.
Now, I want to pray with you on the screen, everywhere who is joining us. Say this prayer, and everyone joining, say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. Have mercy on me. Please write my name in the book of life. Today, say this prayer. Say, today, I give my heart, I give my life, I give my everything to Jesus Christ. Please write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. Now, those of you who come to the front, you can go this way. If you are on the screen, if you give your life to Christ, you are feeling lonely, Jesus is the answer. If you need a friend, Jesus is the answer. Whatever your need, if you give your life to Christ, watching with us on the screen, text us or send a WhatsApp to the number on the screen, and your life will never be the same again. God bless you. You may be seated. It's time for communion. Holy communion.
Take, eat, this is
hallelujah. It's time for the Holy Communion. I want everybody to get your Holy Communion. And I know God is going to bless you mightily in this amazing time of Holy Communion. Amen.
Take, eat, this is my body.
Now, Holy Communion is an important thing that the Lord gives to us to celebrate. And as we partake of this bread, amen, we are doing something that is critical, that is key and important in the kingdom. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, as we come before this Holy Communion table, I want us to see in Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. Amen. Give us this day our daily bread. Hallelujah. You know, God has bread that He gives us supernaturally. And when we partake of His bread, it sustains us. Now, Jesus said that I greatly desired to eat this bread and to have this supper before I suffer. I really wanted to have this, to eat this Passover, which is to eat the bread before I suffer. It was something that he really desired. Why? Because there was a very special blessing that would come when they shared the bread together. So he said, with desire, I have desired. With what? Desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. With desire, I have desired. I really, really want to have this. It's a blessing. It's a special blessing that comes from the Lord and that comes from God. With desire, I have desired greatly. Amen. And I believe that with desire, God desires that as we are even having this church service, He desires this part of the service. With desire, I have desired to have this aspect with you also, because a great blessing will be imparted to us. Stand to your feet.
Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Drink, this is my blood, which was shed for you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life.
For with desire, flesh is meat indeed, I have desire to eat this with you. Father, we thank you for this amazing blessing. Bless us and let the great things that you have ordained for us come into our lives through this amazing meal of the Passover, the body of Jesus Christ. And now the blood, with desire, I have desired. May your sins be forgiven. May your mistakes be blotted out. May every fall turn around for your victory. The blood of Jesus Christ. Lift your hands for your blessing. Although everything fails, you will not fail. May you go forth from this place greatly victorious. Whatever you were not successful in, whatever mistake of Vashti you have made, you are recovering from it now. There's great hope for you, because Christ in you is the hope of your glory. Christ in you is the hope of your beauty. Christ in you is what gives hope about you and about your special life. May you be a special person in the house of the Lord. May your place never be taken by another. May you see the better alternatives and adjust yourself quickly. Be blessed of the Lord from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Wherever you are living, in whichever pandemic zone you may be, may the Lord help, save, heal, protect, and keep you supernaturally. I bless you to never fail, although everything around may fail. Your portion is to never fail. And those that believe the prophecy shall experience it, for the prophecy you believe is the prophecy you receive. Be blessed of the Lord. Be encouraged. Be healed in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, amen. God bless you. God bless you.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.